This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, whoever builds a mosque for Allah, Allah will build for him a similar house in Jannah. And we know the great reward that will not only be gained, but rather will fill your grave after your death. Whenever someone prays there, whenever someone gives shahada in the masjid, whenever someone learns something in the masjid, yes, that will be something that you'll have on your scale.
There is no evidence that having sex with a lot of women translates into an ability to understand women in the context of a committed relationship or longevous relationship. There is no evidence of that. So this is where the red pill makes a lot of claims, assertions, but they're not backed, because the idea is, I feel like there's just ad hoc justifications and rationalization for hedonism, which is effectively just doing whatever you want, whatever you desire. But really, like, let us assess this claim, the claim that if you have sex with a lot of women, that's going to lead to you knowing women more and therefore having a stronger relationship, more longevous relationship with some kind of woman. But it doesn't seem to me that there's any evidence to that effect, because I was looking at some studies on casual sex. Yeah. And I was looking at, like, it was like 5 or 6 of them that have been done. And all of those studies, first of all, they're mixed. They're contradictory, funny enough. Some of them say that, yeah, they harm women. Actually, most of them say they harm women. Casual sex harm women. That is a consensus psychological finding.
It harms men too, a lot of these studies, but it
doesn't. Yes. Say it harms men. Some of them say it doesn't harm men.
Yeah.
But there's no study that says it helps them in relationships. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course not. And they would never run a study like that, because it would be considered unethical, right? And we know that, you know, when they run these studies, they have to be politically correct. They got to get funding. They have to do it in a certain way to get the blessing. But what I will say is, with the whole body, sleeping with women or whatever it may be, it's not necessarily to understand women better. It's to understand the women that you don't want to necessarily be with. And I think that's half the game, because what ends up happening, right, remember, I mean, you're in the UK, so you know this too. I mean, the UK is going through this as well. We live in a very hypersexualized world where women are more promiscuous than ever before. So my thing is, right, I look at it like, and I was just having a discussion with Andrew. He's a devout Orthodox Christian, and he saw my perspective on this too. If you're going to try to meet a woman in the West where they are promiscuous, they don't necessarily adhere to gender roles when it doesn't benefit them. They want a man that makes money, but they don't want to necessarily submit, etc. I think it's very important for you as a man to identify these women early on and not bring them into your life, because the beauty of religion, right, whether it's Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, is that it basically had an institution of shame, and it had what I call training wheels to keep women honest with their man. It pretty much shamed them for not doing things that they were supposed to do. But these training wheels are effectively gone. We live in a secular world now. And unless you're a very religious man and you're meeting a very religious woman, it's going to be very difficult for you to find a woman that's virtuous. So my thing is, I think the other reason why I think this is so important is because when you get married, right, luckily, you know, in Islam, you can just go to a mosque, go to an imam, he'll marry you, boom, done. You don't got to worry about the state being involved. But most people don't get married that way. They get married through the state. And with the way the family courts are set up, with the way divorce is set up, with the way it's basically an entire industry against men, I look at it like, if you're going to go ahead and you want to have a family one day, which is the nuclear family, which is the backbone of society, and you want to get married, you are taking on a tremendous amount of risk, and I don't want you to go in blind. However, if you're getting married and the state isn't involved, and there's no severe consequences to you financially, then sure, go ahead and be less sexually experienced and meet a woman, because at least you're not going to be severely punished for it. But my thing is, the reason why I even gave that idea, like, hey, get with more women so that you understand them, is because I just don't want men to deal with the horrors of the family court. Now, is it the best solution? Probably not, but I think it's a pragmatic one given the world that we're in now.
So what? Yeah. No, here's the thing. I just want to know what the evidence is. So, of, for example, having intercourse with multiple women, what benefit? Like, let's say 50 to 30. What benefit are you alleging that it has on the man? What benefit are you alleging?
That's a fair question. Every man has different competence, right? So like one guy might be able to hook up with 10 girls and be like, okay, you know what? I get it. Like it is what it is. But another guy, you know, might be incompetent, might be an idiot. Everyone's, you know, level of adaptation is different. So I'm not saying, oh, have a hard 50 and don't get married. It's like, no, if you find a girl that's worthy, that's fine. And I would argue that like our podcast is like, we're able to kind of fast line it where, you know, remember this information hasn't been out for very long. So people are kind of learning now through us talking about it on our platform, et cetera. So they might not necessarily have to even hit 50 because they're learning from our mistakes. You know, the Chinese.
But if they do get 50, what's the benefit of that? What do they get from that?
Well, hopefully, depending on the individual, they are able to identify women that are worthy versus ones that aren't.
In a sexual capacity.
Well, I'm also assuming that this person would be seeing this woman. If they're just looking to have sex, then obviously it's gonna be a waste. But I'm talking about, you know, you're obviously courting this woman, you're hanging out with this woman, etc. You're seeing her.
Because look, my friend had your book. I was trying to look for it myself. It's called.
Oh, nice.
I was trying to find something, and actually, I was flicking through it right before I spoke to you, I like the statistics you have on here. One of them that you had on here was, for example, that a man will spend 30 hours or something like this doing 30 hours doing speed dating online in order to just get one date, 1.46 date in the year or something like that. Now, what I'm saying is that to get 50 women, look, you know it's a numbers game and I know it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
The feasibility, the amount of man hours that you're going to need to put in to have intercourse with 50 women that are not prostitutes, according to your statistics that you mentioned, right? The amount of man hours we're talking about, like if he's going to use Tinder or some kind of an app, and according to these stats, he's going to need to do a lot of that, right? And the question of benefit here is an important one. Obviously, from a religious standpoint, Muslims, Christians, and Jews all agree that sex shouldn't even be done outside of marriage. Now, it is still possible to marry 50 women. I mean, I'm not saying you cannot marry and divorce 50 women. It's a possibility, but I'm not necessarily saying that one should do that. Of course, we wouldn't agree that one should do that. The point I'm trying to get at is that there isn't actually any good evidence that having intercourse with that many women would give you a kind of benefit in the relationship. In fact, you could argue for the opposite, because if you get sex very easily, going back to the idea of virtue, then you can be less restrained in your sexual appetites. And this is something that in virtue ethics is referred to as temperance. So if you're less restrained, you don't have as much restraint, for example. You don't have self-control. And if you don't have willpower and self-control in one area, you're less likely to have it in other areas. And I've read that in a book called Willpower, funny enough, by Roy Baumeister. A very fantastic book. I recommend it. But he mentioned the point that if you have willpower in one area, for example, he mentioned fasting, religious fasting as an example, Roy Baumeister. If you have willpower and discipline in one area, it's transferable to other areas. The idea of getting 50 women having sex with them, which is difficult anyway, according to these stats, because just because you're dating a woman, it doesn't mean you're going to have sex with her. As you know, like for the average person, you guys might not be the average person, because, you know, from a status perspective, you guys have got, you know, big channel, good money coming in. The guy's wearing a nice Rolex, red face. I like it. It's fresh. And you're wearing a nice watch as well. You know, you guys are well put together.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro.
So not everyone is fresh and not everyone's Myron Gaines.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to be easy to get sex like that. So for them to put 30 hours to 50 hours to get one a date, and then after that to get like 100 of those, maybe 30, I don't know how many, what the numbers would be, a conversion rate, 5 dates to one woman having sex, maybe. I don't know. Is that my way? Well, you know more about this than I do?
Keep in mind, right? Because people tend to criticize my, my idea that you should have sex with 50 women. But there's a bunch of other things I tell guys to have in place as well. They should make a certain amount of money, 35 years old, be in shape. They need to have a bunch of things in line so that they can be in a position. And the reason why I say this, like, so here's it. Here, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Make 100, 6 figures a year or more, have 6 months or a year of savings, be in shape, 50 women, and then be 35 years old. The reason why I say have these 5 things in place is because most women, right, will look at you as a higher status, more attractive male, which in it will inevitably put her and her feminine, put you in your masculine. So the relationship ends up actually working, because we all know what happens when you deal with a rambunctious woman. Now, does that mean that if a person reaches 10 bodies, 20 bodies, 30, 40, and he has other things in place. Oh, no, sorry, baby, I can't commit to you because I need to hit 50. No. And like I said before, with our podcast, we might be able to curb it where they don't need to necessarily hit that number. But I'm speaking from a general perspective for most people. And then also with the, as far as the book goes with the dating stuff, this is why I'm such a big proponent of not relying on online dating. I tell people, meet girls through your friends, meet girls when you're out, meet them out in real life, use Instagram. We have multiple different ways that you need to go ahead and source women. Now, with that said, of course, if you're religious, then this might not necessarily apply to you because you're going against your religious beliefs. But my thing is this, if you're a religious guy, right, and you can't do this, that's totally fine. The only thing I ask is I want them to make sure that they don't get married with the state. You don't need to hit this body count number if you're getting married and it's just religious strictly.
No, I see. Look, a lot of what you said there is very reasonable. I don't think it's wrong for a man to aspire to make a certain money, like a certain amount of money. I don't think it's wrong for them to put themselves in the pool. I think it's actually quite praiseworthy, frankly. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. My only issue is that the reason why I mentioned the 50 body count thing is because this is my analysis, bro, and you could tell me what you think. We're living in a time historians refer to as Pax Americana, yeah? It's a time where America is a superpower, and as a result, Western countries have not had to have wars where they themselves are in danger in the ways that they had in the past, okay? It's more like incursions or invasions or whatever it may be. As a result, we in the West are living in a state of relative ease and comfort. Arthur Schopenhauer, a famous philosopher, he said that human beings or humankind, mankind, vacillates between extreme boredom and extreme fear. Okay, I think now we're living in an age of extreme boredom because we're not fearing that someone's going to kill us. Yeah, in a war context. As a result, we are missing what most cultures in the past referred to as rites of passage for men. This is where the masculinity crisis comes in. Because before, a man could prove that he is a man by stepping on the battlefield. Now, that kind of opportunity is no longer afforded to us on the same kind of level. And as a result, we have invented rites of passage for men so that they can feel like they have gone through a certain process and now they're men. And what I see with the Red Pill movement is that they've invented arbitrary and ad hoc rites of passage, which actually feed more into hedonistic liberal thinking than anything else, which there's scanty to no evidence that will improve them as an individual, virtuously or otherwise, the like of which we've just mentioned, the 50 body count thing, which I know comes from the rational male, because that was the first place I read it. I don't know if you got it from there as well. So the point is
he just calls it plate theory.
I mean, what I'm saying to you is, in the time it would take you to find non-prostitutes that are 50 in number that you can have sex with in the West, you can spend making money for yourself. You can spend working on yourself. You can spend improving your bravery, improving your proficiency, your strength. Because the thing is, I feel like there's an underlying assumption with the Red Pill movement, yeah? And the assumption almost is that we should live our lives to make ourselves most marketable for women.